now Rysbrook and out at a committee meeting of the new Causeway Coast and Glens Borough Council after members failed to agree on a motion to open the full council meeting with a prayer. The proposal was put forward by the DUP councillor, Mark Fielding, as a prayer had been used by Coleraine Borough Council for over 40 years. It was opposed by Sinn Féin. Now, Councillor Mark Fielding is with us this morning. Karen McShane from Sinn Féin, we're getting in a second or two. She just dropped off the line. Spell this out to me, Mark. Why is this important?
I think it is important because the vast majority of citizens of the Causeway Coast area would all profess to belong to the Christian faith. And as a Christian tradition in the former council, the legacy council, Coleraine Borough Council, a prayer, an appropriate prayer, was said prior to the main statute of business of council. A prayer has been said for the last 40 years, which basically asked that that God would guide us in deliberations for this borough, that we might have the right judgment and grace to shape our decisions. And I believe that that prayer would have found consensus, and that's why I proposed that the prayer that had been used in the same chamber for the previous council could be used for the new council of Causeway, Coast and Glens.
But isn't religion a private matter, Councillor Fielding? Should you really be bringing it into departmental work, forcing people who are not Christians to pray?
Well, we do live in a democracy, Stephen, and the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland would profess to belong to Christian faith.
What about those who don't?
This is the beginning of the council meeting. It's before the statute of business of council. It's before the agenda of council even begins. It's a prayer that is said that lasts about 20 seconds, so it's a prayer before the main business of council. So I don't think it discriminates against anyone.
But for people of all different faiths, should they be able to insist on their type of prayer meetings before a council meeting? Should it just be a Christian prayer? Or, for example, could people of other denominations, of other religions, insist on their religious ceremony before a council meeting too?
No, well, I think the prayer reflects the vast majority of the citizens' faith of the Causeway Council area.
But it's not about majority rule, Councillor Fielding, is it? It's about everybody feeling welcome and everybody feeling embraced.
Yeah, but that's why we have it before the main business of council.
For example, I don't know what type of ceremony or what type of prayers the Muslim faith does, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But would you encourage and welcome that there would be a Muslim prayer session before your council meeting too?
Well, my understanding is I don't think there are any Muslims on our council. The council most.
But that could change, couldn't it? So just so that we're sure here, if that changes, would you welcome that?
Well, the present status is that at the minute we live in a country where most people, the vast majority, profess to adhere to Christian faith, and even those that would say they have no strong faith, they're still from a Christian background.
Well, Cara McShane from Sinn Féin is with us now. Why are you opposing this, Cara?
At the end of the day, this proposal is pushing Christianity down people's throats. We're a multicultural, pluralist society, forward-looking. There's a time and a place for people's prayers. I propose the councillors want to come together and say prayers at any time and to meet separately from the council business. They're more than welcome to do so. But I think it's also very hypocritical when you have councillors who, you know, for instance, the TUV can't get into a picture with people in Sinn Féin or my council colleagues, but yet try to be self-righteous and push this type of thing down people's throats. I think it's completely ridiculous.
What harm is there, though, Cara, in a prayer? Prayer. What is the harm?
With all due respect, Stephen, if you were to go into work this morning in the BBC and you were asked to go and say prayers for 5 minutes or employees were all to come together, you know, there are people, maybe you or maybe me or maybe others may not take offence, but I think we're leaving ourselves wide open to legal challenge from members of the public and staff who want to be at a council meeting or may have something on the agenda but feel compelled to sit through Christian prayers. I don't think it is right, and my position is still the same, that we will continue to oppose this.
Councillor Fielding?
Well, you're allowed to step through, you're allowed to stand before the main council meeting. It's not part of the agenda for statute of business of the council, but I believe most people that sit in the council, the majority of them, will see that this prayer is a prayer that just asks us to pray to that God will guide us in the deliberations for this prayer, and if it happens, that we may have a right judgment in all things,
but
and may have grace to shape our decisions.
What,
I think that's an appropriate prayer.
What research, Councillor Fielding, has the DUP got, because I haven't seen it, to say that the majority of people in your area are Christians?
Well, the council makeup, people are elected, they have mandates from their electorate. The majority of councillors at that committee meeting...
They're not elected on the basis of the religious faith, though.
Stephen, you see, I'll just interject.
Yeah, but the majority of councillors at that committee meeting were in support of my prayer. You know, and they reflect the people that voted for them.
Who says the prayer, by the way? Is there a clergy?
Yeah, no, it's said at the monthly council meeting, the prayer, the mayor says the prayer.
The mayor?
The mayor, yes.
Here's Jane and Temple Patrick. Then, Carol, you can go back in. Go ahead, Jane.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I believe in prayer, but I find this totally hypocritical regarding praying before the council meetings. To the best of my knowledge, many of these councillors never darken the door of a prayer meeting. And yet they want to be seen. They want to be seen. I think the first priority would be that they would either attend their church prayer meeting or some other prayer meeting. Can somebody answer that question?
Well, let's hold that question for a second or two. Carol McShane, you wanted to come back in.
Stephen, the point is where the DUP and others are in the dark ages, the right-wing, self-righteous attitude of elected representatives mixing religion and government when it suits them. You know, this evangelical position, I feel that we would be much better served if we could work along with each other 365 days a year, that we go in and we make decisions on the basis of fairness and equality for all of our people, ratepayers across the entire district, in particular for us in the Causeway Coast and Glens. People care about their bins, about the play parks, about tourism, about economic recovery, all of those things. People, you know, to be quite honest, think this is a complete waste of time and of resources. And I feel that we are leaving ourselves open to a legal challenge. And I say it again, there are people from the public who come into council meetings. There are staff who are compelled to be there at 7 o'clock. If councillors want to come together, go into a room whenever they feel like it and pray together or do whatever they want outside council business, they are more than entitled to do so. I would say again, Stephen, you work for the BBC. If you had to go in 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning of your schedule of being in the office and in the studio to pray with other members of staff, I think you would feel that it was wrong. But we should do less of the self-righteous thing and the self-praise and all of that, and work together, stand together, work together on behalf of all of our ratepayers. I have my own Christian beliefs, and that's fine, but my own personal beliefs are...
Well, here's Molly, and Lisburn wants to talk to you, Carol McShane. Good morning, Molly. Go ahead, say good morning to her.
Good morning. Good morning, Carol. I'd just like to know, dear, what's the difference between a word of prayer and the curry, my cocoa, call you curry, the Irish that's spoken before, and every time Sinn Féin stands on their feet. And we've all to listen to that, and it's a foreign language, so I can't understand where you're coming from. I think you're bringing the Trojan horse into play here.
With all due respect, that's a completely separate issue. That's to do with our own language. Our
it
own
is.
Language.
No, it's not your own language, dear. You live in Britain, whether you like it or not, you're British. And it's not your own language, and I detest having to listen to it every time you stand on your bloody feet. So don't talk to it. You're only bringing the Trojan horse in to cause more trouble. A word of prayer doesn't do anybody any harm. And if God will soon let you know about that, okay?
Thanks, Molly.
Goodbye, dear.
There's no point in me even responding to that, Stephen.
You are Christian too, Cara, aren't you?
Stephen, I am, but I don't mix my Christian beliefs with my politics.
So Mark Fielding, Councillor Mark Fielding, what right have you got to impose your form of Christianity upon Cara, who is as equal a Christian as you are?
It's not. I'm not enforcing my right on anyone. The right of the council have made a decision. The majority of councillors have agreed with having prayer before the council.
But you recognise her as a fellow Christian, don't you?
Is that again, Stephen?
You recognise her as a fellow Christian, don't you?
I'm not. It's not a question of recognising anyone else. It's a question of is this prayer to be agreed by councillors, and the majority of councillors at that committee do agree that the prayer should be said before the council meeting. So it's not a question of me forcing my prayer on anyone. The majority of councillors have agreed it should be a prayer before...
Damien's in Derry. Morning, Damien.
As a good Christian, I'm sure Mark knows his Bible. So maybe you'll be able to tell me what Matthew 6:5 says. Would you know that one, Mark?
Well, I know Matthew 6, that's the Lord's Prayer, is found in Matthew 6.
Matthew 6:5 says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. They pray in public. When you pray, do it in private. That's what it says, Mark, doesn't it?
You're basically
going against the word of the Bible by standing and praying in public, Mark.
I don't think that's
good practice for a good Christian now, is it?
Well, for 40 years, there's been prayer be said before a council meeting. There's a long tradition.
Let's finish.
Christians
are hypocrites.
Westminster.
Let's let Councillor Fielding finish.
There's a long history of prayer before the council meeting and local government throughout the body size.
There's a long history of slavery, Mark.
Westminster has prayer before the meetings.
There's a long history of not letting women vote. Maybe you want to go back to that.
That's a separate issue altogether.
It's not a separate issue. History has nothing to do with it. We live in a democracy, Mark, not a theocracy. I know that's very difficult for people to understand in the DUP, but you have to start
democracy.
And understand it.
We live in a democracy, and that's why the majority of councillors have voted for prayer before a council.
You're in a public meeting. You have the right to legislation, but in a public meeting, you do not have the right to dictate procedures on religion. Religion has nothing to do with politics. You cannot impose your religious beliefs on people at a public meeting.
We're not imposing our religion.
Yes, you are.
This is before the main council business.
If there's a councillor who happens to have no faith at all, would you have any problem with him standing up and giving an invocation saying, God is nonsense, the Bible is myth stories, and people need to catch themselves on? Would you have any problem with that?
If people don't want to come in for the prayer, they can come in after it.
Why don't you take yourselves out, say a wee prayer outside, and then come in for the meeting?
Well, the majority...
That would be the Christian thing to do.
Oh, I don't agree with you.
No, well, clearly. But you're going to have to start and take this into account. People are moving on. This is the 21st century. We're not living in a theocracy. This is not Saudi Arabia. This is a democratic country with people of all faiths and none.
Nobody's likened it to Saudi Arabia. What a ridiculous exaggeration.
Well, if the DUP had their way, Stephen, they would drag us back to the Christian Saudi Arabia.
Well, I'm sure that the DUP would take great offence at that. Stephen and Dungannon. Morning, Stephen.
That's a ridiculous comment to make, and I do take offence to that, and that's not even worth commenting on, actually.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Go ahead, Stephen.
I was just trying to get into the car and turn the radio on, so I don't know all the ins and outs of this discussion.
I'll give you an up sum.
Hold on a minute.
A rise broken out of the committee meeting of the New Causeway Coast and Glensborough Council after members failed to agree on a motion to open the full council meeting with a prayer. Here's
what my issue is, Stephen. As a presenter, you're meant to be neutral. Is that a fair comment to make? You're meant to be neutral on all matters. Is that right?
Yes.
Stephen, on Easter Monday, you played a very, very good interview with Maud Kales, and you said to Maud, that's where you and I differ. I don't believe in God. And
that's correct.
Stephen, that jeopardises you and your ability to chair this neutral. I see the BBC as biased. I am a Christian myself. Every other day I see gay issues being raised, and I take offence, Stephen, that you're chairing this debate when you are meant to be neutral, and you openly said you do not believe in God.
So you don't...
discussion that you have around these issues, you cannot claim to be not biased when you have said you do not believe in God.
But everyone has beliefs, right? So let's just talk this through, okay? Give me 1 second to talk this through. So whether I would have told you or not that I didn't believe in God, okay? And by the way, can I finish? Let me finish, because I'm happy enough to chat this through with you. Actually, to quote me accurately, what I said was, I would love to be able to be to believe in God, okay? And one day I might. So it's not that I'm saying I don't believe in God and I don't want to. In fact, what I was saying was, I would like to, number one. Number two, and this is very important, we all, in journalism, no matter who you're working for, we all have personal beliefs. So it's not as if broadcasters don't have personal positions and personal beliefs. It is whether we park those at the door when we come into our job. So the test for me, I would argue to you, is not whether I believe in God or not. The test for me is, am I being impartial when I do my job? That's the test. I'm chairing this debate. And actually, you could argue, and then I'll shut up and I'll let you come back at me, right? You could actually argue that with me being up front with you and saying to you, look, I don't believe in God, then that means that maybe the spotlight is on me even more to be impartial, because you know I've made that statement.
Well, two things. You said you would like to believe in God.
Yes.
I would ask you, what is stopping you? And why not take that step of faith? Because it is fantastic to have the Lord in your life, Stephen, but that's a separate thing.
But you see, there's where you're being unfair on me, and let me tell you why. So you actually want to have a discussion with me about, you know, and my inability to believe in God, which I actually think is a really interesting discussion, and you want to have it now, and yet you slate me for revealing it.
No, I said a minute ago, I'm glad that you were open and said it, but you've always claimed that the BBC is impartial, and it is. It's a challenge to leave your views at the door. But Stephen, I struggle now when all these issues come up around moral issues, religious issues. I just think it has jeopardised your position, because you said you're always neutral, and yet I don't know how you can be neutral if you hold an opinion.
But the way
I live my life, if you have an opinion, you should let it affect.
But
how
you know that every broadcaster fronting every subject that they are doing has a personal position on something. Like, you do know that, because like, it's obvious.
Of course. Everybody has opinions on everything, yeah.
Exactly. So it's not as if you all think that broadcasters, presenters don't have opinions. It's whether that presenter is doing their best to park their personal position at the door when they walk into the studio, which is what I'm trying to do. If you want me to be totally upfront, right? Can I... Sorry, it's John and Duncan, is it, I'm speaking to?
Stephen
and Duncan. I'll be completely upfront. It was probably a mistake, me revealing that. In fact, I'll go even further. It was a mistake. All right? I was trying to be honest. I was trying to have a discussion about God, because it has been in my mind for a while, and it was a mistake. So I shouldn't have done it.
I appreciate that. And it probably isn't a lot of people's mind, but that was the case anyway. But going back to the point that I originally phoned in, it leaves it hard now when Christians come on and you claim to be neutral.
Yeah.
You claim to be neutral, Stephen. You can understand where, as a Christian listening to your radio programme, and your show's fantastic, Stephen.
So here's another.
It infuriates me to listen to it, but I'm addicted. It is fantastic.
Well, here's another interesting question.
As a Christian, just... And you claim to be neutral, and you said that. You can see now why the Christians would say there is the biasness on your programme.
Okay. Would you stop a Christian hosting a show like this?
I wouldn't stop anybody hosting a show. The point that I'm taking is you've always claimed to be neutral, and how can that be?
But do you think a Christian broadcaster therefore can't front a current affairs programme?
I think that people...
Someone who openly goes to church... Someone who openly embraces their Christian faith. Do you think, you know, if you take the flip side to what I've done, and it was a mistake me revealing it, Stephen, it just was, okay? But do you think, therefore, the flip side of what I'm saying, an openly Christian broadcaster can't front a current affairs programme?
I think that everybody, no matter what their views, should be allowed to do their job, and they should be allowed to express their opinion. I believe in the freedom of expression. But this comes down to the other thing that's going on. Seems like everybody else can, but the Christian can't. And you look at a lot of presenters, high-profile people on the BBC, and there aren't too many Christians. There aren't too many Christians. They're all openly atheist, and they mock and they joke about the Bible and God and all those kinds of things. And it seems to be that the Christian is the only one who can't express their view or else they get persecuted or pursued through the...
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll fight for people of all backgrounds, all faiths, all denominations to express their view on this programme.
I think you know that. Taking this call, I think it was a brave thing you've done to take this call, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the call.
I think it's a sign, Stephen, and you know, this is the only pat on the back I'll give the Nolan Show this morning. All right, we knew because you talked to a producer before you come on the programme. Okay,
exactly, yeah.
So we knew that you were coming on the programme to challenge me. We knew you were coming on the programme to tell me I got it wrong and to suggest I was biased. The very fact that you're put onto the programme with the knowledge that we had of what you were about to say, I would argue very strongly, is an indication of how unbiased this show is.
And I fully commend you. I'll be honest, I was surprised when the call came back. I was surprised.
Well, listen, I'll tell you right now, any criticism of me, and these producers put the call right to the very top, if you ever want to get on the Nolan Show, just say I'm terrible or you want to challenge me about something, and that's it.
Well, look, you're good at your job, I'll give you that, Stephen, but I would appreciate if I could get on from time to time to put the Christian. I know you have all the Christians on, but maybe you'd give me a chance again. I have been on your show a time or two.
You can come on. Of course you can. So, I just think there's a... I just do think, and again, I'll repeat it again, sometimes we make mistakes. Yes, it's a lesson for me.
Was it a mistake or did the mask...
Some mask slipped. Now you're starting to be offensive. You know,
I'm saying it in a joking way, but
there's no mask slipping. It was a mistake by me in revealing something about my personal life, and I don't think I'll do it again because.
But
you know,
brilliant! I'm really glad you did.
But I'll tell you this, and it's probably not for me to then have. But there's a really, really interesting discussion to be had in Northern Ireland. Okay. Given how much religion has played a part in Northern Ireland over the years, okay? And given how Christianity is so important to so many people in Northern Ireland, and God is, you know, there wouldn't be a day goes by in this programme, Stephen, without God being mentioned, okay? It's mentioned nearly every day. I just think there's a really, really interesting discussion to be had on the airwaves about people's ability to believe in God. You know, why do people believe in God? Why do some people not believe in God? What makes a difference? What have been the turning points in someone's life where they've become a Christian? I just think all that's really, really interesting, Stephen.
So do it someday.
Okay. And I hear also, by the way, that some Christians feel isolated. I hear also the discussion, I think this is another really, really valid argument, that some politicians feel that, you know, they're unable to express their Christian faith now. And I think that's a really interesting discussion to be had as well. You know,
I think it's hard for being a Christian because obviously we hold views around homosexuality and you're portrayed, if you're against the act of homosexuality, you're then portrayed as a homophobic person who hates all gay people. And that is not true.
Yeah.
You know, so it is how it's portrayed and it's not the case at all. It's not the case at all, and yet for a Christian to express these kinds of views,
yeah,
we do get slated. We do get slated, and we get the hard time, and we're painted in a very negative way, when all we're trying to do is stand up for what we believe to be right.
Okay.
I believe if you have an opinion, it's good to listen.
Let me squeeze in Brandon Lambeg, but Stephen, you've been a cracker call today. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate your time.
All right. Brandon Lambeg, morning to you. Very quickly, man.
Right, Stephen. They say you can't be impartial because you're a non-believer. So then how can you be impartial if you do believe in God, if you're chairing a debate about religion?
Well, that's the point I was trying to make.
You know, you can't have it both ways. You know, you either are impartial or you're not. Your religion or your beliefs are irrelevant.
Okay, Bram, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Interesting show this for me today, because it is food for thought. Should someone like me, you know, have ever told you I didn't believe in God? Maybe not. Maybe that was a mistake. Anyway, thanks for your company today.